نعبده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا ومن يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله ونشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله. السلام عليكم ورحمه الله وبركاته. I think that alhamdulillah the memory of Ramzan and fasting should be fresh in your mind. And also you have been lucky that you have been listening to Maulana Patel Sahab almost every day, morning and evening. And he had been explaining what the Rajab Ramzan means and what the Roza demands from us. And Ramadan has got its own spirit. And all of you experience it. Even those who are not five times namazi, even then, they get into that kind of spirit. It has its own magical aspect which elevates the spiritual standing. And we feel that we should do in the month of Ramadan what normally we don't do in other time, and also to avoid from those things which we have not been avoiding in non-Ramadan as such. And you must have heard many times the first 10 days of Rahma and the second 10 days of Maghfirat, and the third 10 days is the protection from fire. All three have got a logical connection. And one basic point is that the Ramadan comes with the lesson that we must learn to attain the spirit of taqwa. I'll come back to it later. But taqwa actually means, essentially means, to protect oneself from the sin, all kinds of sins. And that can come only if Allah's presence in our mind is so ingrained that it makes us avoid sin and persuades us to do good. That's what it is all about. I'll recite the three verses of the Quran which lead to that point which I'm making. The first one is from Surah Al-Mulk. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا وهو العزيز الغفور. Blessed he in whose hand is the sovereignty, authority. And he is the one who has created the mouth and hayat. Mouth means death, and hayat is hayat, life. Why? Allah Ta'ala says, so that he may test you, liyabluwakum, to test you, to try you. Which of you is the best in your action, in your deeds? Wa huwal azizul ghafoor, he is mighty, and he is forgiving. In other words, had he not been mighty, he would not have been forgiving. The quality of forgiving is exactly because he is mighty, he can do that. The other point you should keep in mind, Allah Ta'ala mentions here mouth first and life afterwards. خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةِ. Allah Ta'ala could have said خَلَقَ الْحَيَاةَ وَالْمَوْتَ but didn't. And we believe that the Quranic construction, the way it comes, it's also a miracle, it's also a ijaz. And why it is? Because mouth or the death is the beginning of another life. Life has been interrupted, but it continues. And that's why Allah Ta'ala made it afterwards. خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةِ. We came here, we died, but then another life begins. إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا لِهِ رَاجُونَ. We say that. And that rajyavan means that we return. Return where? Return to your home, from where you have come. This is what it means. So in other words, the purpose of our birth, living on this earth, is in which Allah Ta'ala will test you, which of you come up with best of your action and deeds. Ayyukum ahsanu amala. That means the amal or the deeds are of two types, good and bad. Amal saleh or amal ghair saleh. Good deed or bad deeds. Allah Ta'ala demanding from us good deeds. Now who decides what is good and what is bad? Ask ordinary people, normally anybody you ask, who define what is good and what is bad? You will hear people saying norms of society, reasoning, or any custom or anything like that. And nowadays with the idea of democracy and secularism, it is the parliament will decide what is good and bad. The parliament is taking its sovereign. If you look in the Western world, what was bad about 100 years ago, now it is an act of sawab. Parliament can pass any law they want to. But in an Islamic society, in an Islamic country, unfortunately today there is no Islamic country. We have got Muslim countries, yes. They have got this and that, little bit there, that kind of thing. But in a true Islamic society, whether it is parliament or no parliament, the right to decide what is right and wrong, what is good and bad, that belongs to Allah, the Sharia. As Rasulullah explains. And therefore, Quran, we must understand as Rasulullah had explained and as Sahaba has understood, not the way you and I understand. You must be listening to lots of noise about it, that we must reinterpret the Quran, or reinterpret the verses of the Quran, so on and so forth. But anyway, so that means the right to decide what is good and bad belongs to Allah. Whether you accept it logically, not logically, that's not our problem. If you ask your subordinate or your servant to bring me a glass of water, his task is to bring you a glass of water. You owe no explanation to him why you want a glass of water. All that he has to do is bring you a glass of water. What you do with it, that's your problem. That's your task. But if you explain to him why I want a glass of water, that was a privilege. And therefore, all the ibadat which Allah Ta'ala has explained in the Quran, these are not the objective by themselves. These are means to achieve something else. And all ibadat, namaz, roza, hajj, zakat, Allah Ta'ala has explained. Allah Ta'ala says about the namaz, inna salatan hanil fahshaya al munkar. The salat stops you from committing acts of indecency and evil. If our salat does not stop us from committing acts of evil and indecency, there's nothing wrong with our namaz. Quran is true. Quran is haq. Quran is saying so. So likewise, the Ramadan, the roza, salalam tattaqoon. If you have not achieved that objective, that means there's something wrong with our roza. That's why the hadith mentioned many times, many times we fast, but one who is fasting doesn't get out of that except hunger. So the thing is this, that spirit which I'm talking about, now the time has come, last Ramzan you had, last 10 days of Ramzan where, the Ekman and Nar, that is the protection or avoidance from fire. So how do you protect yourself from fire? That's the issue. And that's what I'm talking about. How do you sustain that spirit? How do you avoid that sin? Now the first verse which I just recited, it says, Allah Ta'ala has created you here, sent you down here, and to test you which of you is the best in your action and your deeds. Now, as you know, as my chef, Hazrat Hakim Sahab says, how foolish on our part that we carry the evidences and witnesses among ourselves, our hands, our feet, our tongue, our eyes, all these are witnesses, all these are evidence. If you read Surah Yasin, even our skins, they will give evidence. So how neglectful it is on our part that we carry our evidences and witnesses among ourselves, and in the day of judgment Allah Ta'ala will ask the tongue to stop now, and these are going to give evidence against us. So the hands which committed sin, the eyes which committed sin, the feet which committed sin, all of these going to speak on that day. وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ. That's what it is. It's going to be. And therefore, it means that to avoid sin. Now sin are two types, basically. That is the greater sin or big sins, gunah kabira, or saghira, that means a small sin. As far as bigger sins are concerned, everybody knows almost because the Quran talks about it, all the things which have been mentioned in the Quran, explained by Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this all comes under the great sin. Telling a lie or backbiting or murder or fornication, they're all the great sin. The smaller sin, which out of negligence that may commit. But the thing is, as Hakim Sahib says, that small sins, you keep committing every day, that becomes a big sin. A drop of water, keep putting in the bucket, what will happen? Bucket will fill, be full. So that was a small sin, but that small sin reaches a stage where it becomes a bigger sin. So it's doing every day. So we have to avoid both. So that we do not get into a habit of doing that kind of thing. It out of forgiveness, out of forgetfulness, if you do something, that's acceptable. But Allah Ta'ala says so, then in that case, you come back to me, ask Tawbah, and I'll forgive you. That's why it is taught to us that keep asking after every namaz. Rasulullah uses astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Why should he say that? He was a Nabi. He was a Prophet. He made the namaz. Why should he say? What he meant to say, that we made the namaz. But Allah Ta'ala's standard is very high. We may have fallen short of that standard, and therefore Allah forgive me for that. And therefore it is important to avoid both. Bigger sins, of course, everybody knows. But we get involved mostly in the smaller sin, and that becomes a bigger sin afterwards. Now then, Quran says, وَذَرُوا ظَاهِرَ الْإِسْمِ وَبَاطِنَهُ. And give up sin, apparent and which is hidden. That means there are sins which are visible, there are sins which are invisible. Allah Ta'ala used the word wazaru. This is an amr, this is a command, not an advice. When Allah Ta'ala says sallu, this is a command. Atu zakat, this is a command, not an advice. So don't take it lightly in that sense. And therefore Allah Ta'ala says, give up the sin which is apparent and hidden, both. As the praise of Allah Ta'ala says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, لَا تَقْرَبُ الْفَوَاحِشَ مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنَ. Do not go even near. لَا تَقْرَبُ. Also command. Nahi. Negative. وَلَا تَقْرَبُ. Do not go even near. That's the point Quran is making. Do not go even near the acts of indecencies, which is apparent and which is hidden. That's why Islam has got a principle, Sharia has got a principle, that anything which is haram, So the steps that takes you to that point is also haram. Islam like to stop the evil at the first step, not at the last step. If drinking is haram, its offering is haram, its manufacturing is haram, its selling is haram, its keeping is haram. If immoral activity is haram, so all those which aids towards is also haram. But we take it very lightly, those. I'm not doing the thing. You see, the hadith which says, اتقوا مواقع التهم, that you must avoid even those places where there is a chance of blaming you. Say for example, you got here the bottle store, whatever it is. You may go there to buy a glass of, the can of Coke. Now if you go there, inside there, people will see, what will people say? You will start making, talking about it. Although you went to buy a Coke, but people don't know about it. So even those places, where there is a chance of blaming you, don't go there, don't go even there. Now what I have just mentioned just now, that means, how to avoid now? That everybody knows. What I have told you just now, you also understand. But how to do it? As Hatakim Sahib said, that the sawab which Allah Ta'ala has promised is on the fact of avoiding sin and not so much on nafal and those things. Believe me, you made it the Taraweeh just now, 20 rakat of Taraweeh, you remain awake, and those who made their taqaf, they read the Quran every day, and then they made a tahajjud, those of them who could do that, they made their fajr namaz. In other words, 24 hours you were in that state of mind. Not only that, after 20 rakat of Taraweeh, it is easier for you to make another 8 or 10 rakat of nafal. If you make Shawwal Roza, it's easy to do that after Ramadan, or any time. It is very easy to read 100 rakat of nafal. But there is a struggle to avoid a sin. This is where the problem comes in. The problem comes if there is a temptation in your heart to do this or this or this. Again, when first time a demand comes to commit sin, that's the act of shaitan. And as Hakim Sahib says, the first time it comes, it is act of shaitan. But when the demand comes again and again inside you, that is the act of your nafs. All the shaitan did to put the honey on the wall, that's all. After that, the persistence comes from our heart. Do this. And that's why the hadith say, Al-Mujahid ibn Jahad al-Nafsa, a real Mujahid is he who is struggle against his own nafs. This is where the struggle is. And therefore, when they sin, any sin done, whatever Allah Ta'ala has explained, or Rasulullah has explained, to avoid it, good or bad, big or small, this is what it is. If you go to Karachi Hakim Sahib's Khanqah, there are couplets are written there on the wall, the frame. One of them says, which is very good, and very easy for you to remember and recite and understand. And this is what taqwa is. It says, it's very simple. Jo karte ho tum chup ke ahle jahan se. Jo karte ho tum chup ke ahle jahan se. Koi dekhta hai tujhe aasma se. Whatever you do, hiding from the people, take care, beware. Somebody from above the sky, from the heaven is watching you. That's Allah Ta'ala. So you think if we are doing something, why do we forget Allah is not watching us? Why do we think that we are not accountable to this? And therefore, in order to avoid this, what do we have to do? Nowadays, whether Muslim school or non-Muslim school, things which are happening there, among the boys and girls, you will be surprised. Even if it takes place 2, 3, 4, 5. But that's a symptom. And forget about the university, that's just something else. So the thing is this, whose fault it is? Parents are not responsible for that. Our elders are not responsible for that. Teachers are not responsible for that. So the question of the whole society which is involved. And therefore the smallest unit, in a social science, the smallest unit is a house. If the house is put in order, and the proper training has been given, then the circle becomes bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger until the whole society gets involved. So don't worry about others. Worry about yourself. Quran said, "Atazakku anfusakum." If we make namaz, if we make tarawih, if we make tahajjud, don't get a piety complex. But I'm very pious now. But so and so did not make this, therefore it's bad. In tarawih, you must have seen how many people they leave after 8 o'clock or 12 o'clock and go away. So don't misjudge them. You judge yourself. Don't judge them. So also a sin. Why? Because Quran says, if you read at least 3 surahs, Alhamdulillah, we read the Quran, we recite the Quran. Recitation of the Quran itself is an act of sawab, no doubt about it. But to read the Quran, and those who do not understand Arabic, they read the translation. Simple verses. See what Quran is talking to you. What Quran is asking you. What Quran demanding from you. What's the point for reading the Quran and not acting upon it? The word tilawat that we use in the Quran, tilawat. What does tilawat mean actually? In Arabic, the word tilawat means that you read and then you follow it with your action. This is what tilawat means. Tarajatlu, to follow. And therefore, read the Quran at least 3 surahs at least. Make it a point. Surah An-Nur, Surah number 24. Surah Ahzab, Surah number 33, and Surah Al-Hujurat, Surah number 49. Read that. Make it a habit to read it and see what Quran is demanding. All social matters. If you read this, the last khutbah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Hajj, all social matters. But this is exactly where the problem is. That our social behavior and social norms are not what Islam demands from us. So what do you do about it? If I read it to you, you'll say, yes, fine, I accept it. Oh, Maharaj, you made a very good speech, very good talk, that's all about it, very educational. But it doesn't take us anywhere. And therefore Allah Ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhallazina amanu, amuttaqullaha kunu ma'as sadiqin. That all those mu'mineen who have attained the spirit of taqwa, that is, they have got ingrained in the mind and heart Allah's presence, take care that you keep the company of good people. Now this verse, this is not the time to explain this. This verse has come in relation to a particular incident which has happened in the time of Rasulullah Sallam. And Sahaba were involved. When you go to Riyadh al-Jannah, you see there is a sukoon there. There is a Ustawana Abu Lubaba. He was involved. And other people involved. So this verse is addressing whom? Sahaba. If the Sahaba could have been influenced by bad company at that time, why we could not be influenced by them? And therefore, it is important for us to understand this. In order to avoid sin, you have to struggle, you have to work hard. If you have to pass any examination, you have to work hard. If you don't want to pass the examination, you don't do anything. Sit at home, you will achieve your objective. But if you want to pass examination, you have to do lots of things. So any objective that you want to achieve, you have to struggle. And therefore, since the Ramadan has just gone by, and Maulana Patel Sahib has been speaking to you all the time, take care of this. If you want to make the society a Muslim society, a modern society, then you must avoid sin. And avoiding the sin, this is where the sawab is. And remember this, jo karte ho tum chup ke ahle jahan se, koi dekhta hai tujhe aasman se. Whatever you do that, hiding from the people, somebody from above this heaven is watching you. This is what it means, taqwa. This is what means Allah's presence. Whatever I have said, I myself deserve the same admonition, same nasihat. And if you have understood, you understood, inshallah, if you act upon it, make dua for me, make dua for yourself and your family and your friend and your circle. Things are very bad. Things are not very good. Don't think in terms of that you're coming to the masjid, everything is saying, don't act like ostrich. This is what is happening in the masjid, is fine. But as soon as you go out of the masjid, you go na kijiye sawab hai aaj, that's not the right thing to do. It's not a good thing to do. Please, for God's sake, do it. If the Western world is trembling with the copy of Islam, not the reality of Islam, copy of Islam, if the reality of Islam comes, then what will happen? And therefore, whatever I have said, make dua for me and I make dua for yourself. Wa akhiru da'wana bil alamin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.